With all set and done with the leagues in Europe, we begin the World Cup road map to Qatar for one of the most interesting World Cup of recent time, and for very interesting reasons, as I said earlier. But before we talk about that, we will be discussing some of the important things happening in the world of football at the moment. We're first going to talk about the football in this weekend, the last phase for most clubs this year, and for in the English Premier League before or after Christmas. And also, we will be talking about the latest in the Nigerian news with Osimhen dropping out of the World Cup. Of the friendly games before the World Cup, that is Nigeria against Portugal. And we would also, if we have the opportunity, talk about the hot Ronaldo news with the full interview dropping on Wednesday and Thursday. The interview is done with Piers Morgan. With that, I welcome you to Sports Lounge right here on Futa Radio 93.1 FM. My name is Nelson Wainier, the main man, the metric, the season guy. I'm right here to bring you to the world of sports, but I've got my guys ready to go, and we have to get into it immediately. No time to check time, basically, at the moment. So let's quickly talk about what's going on, and I have to start with Osimhen not being a part of the squad that would be playing that friendly against Portugal and of course Costa Rica. It kind of seems very, very shocking that this would happen at this particular point, because we were really thinking that we would get to see Osimhen in all of his glory, maybe try to score one or two goals or add to his goal tally of the goals he already has for the Nigerian football team, but that would not be happening, and it's worrisome at this moment. What exactly is going on? Let me start with you, Adam. Adam, what do you think is going on right now with Osimhen? I mean, they have said it was official. Chidozie Awuzie and of course Victor Osimhen
have been called back.
Victor Osimhen are injured and would not be playing. What's going on exactly?
Well, the official statement came out today. Good evening, Nelson. Good evening, Chris. It was a pleasure to be back. But just to jump into it straight up, the official statement came out this evening and said that Victor Osimhen and Chidozie Awuzie would not be available anymore, would not be joining up with the squad anymore due to injury. And Olisanda and Cyril Dessers have been called up as their replacements into the Nigerian squad.
I think Olisanda
and Cyril Dessers are the replacements. Chidozie Awuzie.
No. Olisanda
and Victor Osimhen
are the injured ones, then Cyril Dessers and Awuzie are the replacements to both of them. Well, for Victor Osimhen, considering the fact that he played 90 minutes over the weekend, that was on Saturday afternoon, he even got a goal for himself. He's been in red hot form. Top goal scorer in the Serie A this season, 9 goals to his name. He's been in red hot form recently. We expect, like you mentioned, we did kind of feel like we were kind of hoping that we would see some of that hotness when we took on Portugal and Costa Rica.
Exactly,
but unfortunately, we would not be getting any of that anymore.
I mean,
but all in all, I think the Nigerian squad itself is still good enough to actually, take on these friendlies, enjoy them. Sorry, don't let me use the word enjoy themselves. Let's get down to serious business.
They would enjoy themselves because I think these are like hot friendlies, but
We were discussing the poor run of forms when it comes to friendly matches with Nigerian national team. And it's been very, very
But
poor.
I wouldn't lie to you. I mean,
it's one of these times where we start turning that corner, trying to get. I mean, yes, the friendlies don't exactly count for anything. They show us our improvements, where to improve, areas we can work on and how far we've come. Yes, that's what friendlies are for. But at the same time, it's not every time we want to come out and be like, oh yeah we lost this one. It's not exactly encouraging.
I think I'll be more disappointed if we do not get a result against Costa Rica.
Exactly, but we need to start chipping in something.
I think a result against Costa Rica is one that we would not want to.
Ratchet played that friendly, Nelson.
That friendly is done. But the one with the home base, I really don't. All due respect to the home base guys, but I really don't. I wouldn't say that because these guys might not even get to play in the national team, in the future. Because I would have loved it because I remember that result. It was 2-0 to Costa Rica.
Yes,
and I actually wished it was this particular guy. So the only game we're calling these guys for is the game against Portugal on the 17th.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's it. I think that's the only, because for the Costa Rican national team, they had lined up a series of friendlies for heading into the World Cup, and that friendly came at the time where most of the players were still at their clubs.
Of course,
As a result of that, we had to make do with the fact that, the friendly had already been. You would recollect that the Portugal friendly was arranged before the Costa Rica.
In fact, I didn't understand why it came around.
Just coming to the LFF and saying,
let's get to play this game.
We want to play against an African side heading to the World Cup, and that's just a basic thing for them, and they were able to get Nigeria and play. Unfortunately for the Super Eagles or the B team, the home based Eagles, they lost that game by 2-0, but just like we said, it was the exposure that was really, really good for them. But as far as this Portuguese friendly is concerned, yes, we are not going to the World Cup. The Portuguese have named a very, very strong 26-man squad to go to represent them at the World Cup, so you expect that it's going to be a high profile friendly, and just like we said, like we always say, Our record in friendly matches has been very, very poor. Last time we won a friendly match was in 2019, March. That's a long time ago. We've had series of
that's 3 years ago for a lot of people that do not understand what is going on. The problem is much.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of problem.
3 year-old kids in kindergarten by now.
A lot of people would say, oh, it's a friendly match.
Yeah.
We're not going to the World Cup, so
it doesn't matter.
So, but that's it. Yes, we are not going to the World Cup, but at least we should be building towards subsequent competition.
But let's not digress. I'm sorry to cut you, but AGP, let's not digress. There's a main issue on ground, and we have to talk about it. Victor Osimhen has not played for a while now.
You would also recollect last time a Super Eagles squad was named for the Algerian friendly. There was one player in particular who failed to turn up. Emmanuel Dennis.
I mean, that's. I mean, you know. I spoke about my displeasure about Emmanuel Dennis, but he's becoming very, very, you know, bad that we cannot even hold down our players anymore. And a lot of people might come at me for this, but I feel like if Osimhen had not played completely for Nigeria, this might be, you know, the turning point where he makes a switch and plays for Italy or something.
I don't know, but I feel it's basically a fallout of our inability to qualify for the World Cup, which is a very, very bad thing for some of those players. Emmanuel Dennis was the player in question during the last international squad that was actually released. But, I mean, be that as it may, I think now that he has also been... I'm not sure Taiwo Awoniyi was called off with the last squad as well. And, I mean, we've obviously spoken about this issue. Taiwo Awoniyi starts for the club. Emmanuel Dennis is on the bench.
I mean, it would have made perfect sense. And I remember you were saying something about even when they dropped Osimhen for injury, I actually thought, because we said even though Cyril Dessers has been scoring a couple of goals for Cremonese, he has not been that guy lately, and he would understand if he's not giving that invitation to call up. I would have thought Taiwo Awoniyi would have been the direct replacement. So maybe there's something going on.
Because when you are calling up Cyril Dessers for obvious reasons, who has not it plays for a Cremonese.
I think he missed the penalty. Was it like 2 weeks ago?
But apart from that, Cremonese have not been playing great.
Exactly. I mean, generally, yes. Cremonese are still in the bottom half, like very, very close to relegation zone, if I'm not mistaken, with the Serie A table. So it's really, really poor. Sorry to cut you short, AGP. So, like you meant, I really, really don't understand it, but fingers crossed on what exactly is going on, because this the way the Nigerian footballing scene works right now. You could make 1,000 conspiracy theories and we wouldn't know exactly which one is correct at the end of the day.
Let me quickly hear what Philip has to say. Philip, good evening. How are you doing?
I'm good, Nelson. Good evening to the guys in the studio. Let's quickly hear
your take on this Victor Osimhen issue, because I'm sure you're one of those people that were actually shocked at the fact that they said he was injured, or he is injured, after seeing that he played 94 minutes on Saturday and scored a goal for himself. What do you think is going on at the moment?
Let me start with the last words that Adam said, that you could bring up 1,000 conspiracy theories and everything might be right, because the way our football is going in Nigeria, you know, we had someone come out to say, as a coach, he was approached to give them a certain percentage of his salary. If a coach can be propositioned like that, then you would know what the players go through. Then you would know what players go through to even be called to the national team. And then you will start to imagine, if a player is declared injured, what would have happened? Did the player pull out willingly? Or did the club of the player say, no, we don't want you to play? Or did the manager or the system at the Nigerian setup say, we don't want this player anymore? Because there is no Serie A fixture next week. There is none in 2 weeks. There is none in 3 weeks. In fact, the next Serie A fixture is next year.
Yeah, so on the 20th. On the 20th of January.
I think that's the Bundesliga resumes. Okay. Serie A comes earlier.
Okay.
I can't say maybe Osimhen is protecting his leg from injury because he doesn't want to miss the next match. The next match is almost 2 months away. So how come someone that played 94 minutes on Saturday suddenly is turning up injured? Has he been examined by the national team doctor, or is the Napoli doctor that says he's injured, or what is really happening? We don't know. But the thing is, I don't want to pick sides. Yeah, I don't want to stay on Osimhen's side, because we've seen Nigerian players also disregard the shirt whenever they see nothing is at stake. And also, we've seen, you know, the Nigerian the NFF also disregard players because they couldn't meet up with what they also demanded. So
exactly,
it's flipped both ways. But honestly, for the sake of clarity, I wish they would come out and explain what is happening. And even Osimhen himself, he talks a lot on social media.
Exactly. I'm really expecting a statement from Osimhen to actually clear the air on this one, because I mean, it's a friendly match, but it would be really nice.
That's
because
what we are saying.
It would be really nice.
A lot of them have come to realize some of these issues, because look at most of the matches we've been playing since we lost out to Ghana in qualifying players for the World Cup. I mean, most of those games, the players can afford to say we are not basically coming, because they know that the national team, what could happen? This was the same Victor Osimhen who the Napoli hierarchy insisted was not going to
play on AFCON.
But at least we know he fought for it, but it didn't happen.
Did our doctors, just like Philip mentioned, did our doctors, were they in contact with Napoli? Were they there to even ascertain whether or not what they were telling us was the same, or was the actual truth? Or because Napoli said this guy is not going to play. Definitely, he's not going to play. He happened to Odion Ighalo as well. I think at his former club in Saudi Arabia, he said he signed a clause that he was not going to represent Nigeria at any continental tournament, and they stuck to that and all that. So, I mean, it's basically most of these things cannot happen when you have established or developed countries.
Yeah,
Anthony, who plays for Man United, who has perhaps been injured now. Rodrigo Lassmann is the team doctor of the Brazil national team. Immediately the squad list was released, he was in contact with most of the club doctors, most of the schools, to ascertain the fitness of their players to get that.
At least, But then, AGP, what you are tilting towards right now is like you are saying that there might be some problem from the players themselves, but the country has to take. I know. What you are saying right now is the country should take full responsibility and be able to tell us what exactly is the problem. They should be the
when
one.
When you are summoning a player, you should be account. That's where accountability comes in.
Tweet that was tabled. That was released.
That was very very bad.
I mean,
very very bad.
So very very bad.
It was so nonchalant. Honestly, it was so nonchalant. Nothing.
Explanation was given. Okay, you just put up a tweet and Nigerians should just follow it.
I really think we would have more time to talk about this Nigerian issue starting tomorrow. The game comes up in 3 days. I'm sure we would confirm the time. Oh, 7:45. I remember you said that last week, Friday, 7:45, Nigeria against Portugal. Would be a very, very interesting game to see. Now, let's quickly talk about a couple of games that happened this weekend. We had a couple of, captivating results. And I think the tea time kickoff in England and the 1:30 kickoff for us here in Nigeria happened to be, the highlight of the weekend, because at some point, I mean, we had all our callers calling last week. Chelsea Newcastle could have been a good side, but we know a lot of people already called in and said that would be a loss for Chelsea. But nobody called in, and absolutely nobody thought Brentford would be getting one.
They never saw it coming.
got anything past Manchester City. 2-5, and Tony, strong message to the England gaffer in that game. And Phil Foden, for all that is good and nice, had a wonderful game. But Erling Haaland, the Nordic midfield, had one shot in 29. Amazing stuff. AGB, Man City, Brentford, what the heck happened?
Well, I think Brentford happened. Basically,
Brentford has taken about both Manchester clubs this season already.
And it was a perfect response from Ivan Toney to the English national team manager, Gareth Southgate, as to why he was left out. A lot of people still believe that Ivan Toney should be in the squad. But just like we always say, has been making the rounds, especially regarding that betting investigations that are still being conducted by the Football Association on him and all that. So a lot of people felt that was actually what led to his non-inclusion in the squad. But he has been very, very impressive. 17 goals in 2022 in the Premier League. Only Harry Kane has scored more. As far as English attackers are concerned, that shows his efficiency in front of goal. He demonstrated that by scoring 2 goals. The first goal obviously gave Brentford the lead, and then Foden scored a wonderful goal, fully. And then Ivan Toney scored the winner for Brentford. And just like you mentioned, Erling Haaland, lots has been said about him this season, especially in the build-up to this particular game, because whether or not he was fit, Pep Guardiola was asked.
I said that he's still feeling some pain. But a lot of people actually pushed for him to start.
I feel they should allow, if it's a good thing he's not participating at the World
Cup. Enough time to rest.
To recover. and then get himself back in shape. Because, I mean, when you have a player like Erling Haaland, you want him to play at 100%. And perhaps we've also debated this on this show where we spoke about the fact that Manchester City have had to send a specialist to the Norwegian national team just to ensure that by the time he goes for international break, he's always at the same level.
Yeah, true.
And those are some of the, and this is the same issue that actually plagued him at Dortmund. He always seems to have that kind of issue, especially mm-hmm. his hamstring and all that. So I feel that was one of the reasons why he didn't really work out well for Manchester City. And then, just like Pep Guardiola said, they had lots of issues, lots of errors tactically that things didn't go their way. Brentford definitely have, just like we always say, they have a way of, I mean, going toe to toe with the big boys in the league. If I mean, I don't know, I think it was I was in a conversation with someone and he said something that when Brentford, I think one of the callers did allude to that fact as well. He said when Brentford, I think it was Williams said that when Brentford want to lose, they will lose very
but when they want to play,
but when they want to take, want
they are thorn
full force. That, and that's we saw Man United actually felt
match day two,
and then Manchester City. So that, and as Adam said, they've done a double over in terms of
the two Manchester City. Yeah,
they've beaten both Manchester clubs this season, and it was very, very impressive for Ivan Toney and all that. Perhaps the perfect response to Gareth Southgate,
I mean,
as to why. And for this game, it was particularly pleasing because never a time in the Premier League history have we seen a weekend like this. And I'll just confirm that to you. As far as this game is concerned, only three players in the entire Brentford squad are going to the World Cup. That's Daniel Rea of Spain.
Yeah.
Brian Mbeumo of Cameroon, and of course, Mathias Jensen of Denmark.
Yeah.
The funny thing was, their suitcases were packed in the Manchester City Etihad dressing room. They brought their suitcases immediately after the game.
They left to their country,
to their respective national team business. So that's the beauty of it. Obviously, we've never had a World Cup in the middle of the season.
Majority of the players.
In fact, 106 players in total played this weekend across all major leagues who were called up to their respective squad. So, and Daniel James, we'll get to that one.
All right, let's talk about a couple of games. Well, let me just go through the scoreline for the weekend. AFC Bournemouth won their game against Everton 3-0. Liverpool won their own against Southampton with Firmino scoring some weird kind of goal. If you ask me, that header was not a header that I thought was actually going to go in. Nottingham Forest, for all their madness, won their game against Crystal Palace. I think that's an amazing win for them. Tottenham Hotspur against Leeds. I'm not impressed by how Tottenham Hotspur... I feel like Tottenham Hotspur fans right now would really not like Conte at all, because it's a roller coaster of emotions. Every single game since the beginning of the season is go, oh, we are playing well. Oh, no. Oh, now we are playing well. So it's actually been a whole lot for them. Well, West Ham played against Leicester City and they lost 0-2. Now, Leicester City has gone about five games right now unbeaten since their, downturn from the season. And now they have been able to turn everything back up. They have made a complete U-turn at the moment and they're being that team. Newcastle defeated Chelsea courtesy of a nice goal. A wonderful goal by Joe Willock. A curler that looked really, really good. Almiron tried to do something with it, but Joe Willock stole the ball. AGP and I had a conversation. We were, basking in all the greatness of that goal, because we thought it was a goal that came out of nothing for Newcastle, even though they tried to run the game in that particular game.
They did run the game.
And then Wolverhampton against Arsenal, it ended 0-2 in favor of Arsenal with Martin Odegaard, the other Norwegian in the English Premier League. No, I like to call him the
Norwegian captain.
No, of course.
I think that works better.
Oh, yeah, all right. The Norwegian captain did his wonders too as the captain of Arsenal, scoring two wonderful goals that I think should actually, put him down there as probably one of the best for Arsenal this season. And now he has got six goals right now. But let's quickly talk about that before we talk about the games on Sunday. Let's pick up with this particular game. Tottenham Hotspur against Leeds United. What exactly is good? Because we look at, I really need to tell people how that game went. Some of you scored a goal in the 10th minute. Yeah. Harry Kane equalized for Tottenham in the 25th minute. Rodrigo got in the 43rd minute. Mm-hmm. Ben Davies equalized in the 51st minute. Now, in the 76th minute, Rodrigo went in again, 3-2. Now, the weirdest person ever.
Rodrigo Bentancur.
No, before that, Dejan Kulusevski did some very, very nice stuff.
Of course, of course.
I think that was the last goal.
Gian came in and, you know, he played like...
He started the game, actually.
I beg your pardon. He did. I think at that point, he was trying to get his groove into the game. And when he got into the game, he was massive. Rodrigo Bentancur, playing for Uruguay, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. This guy, I don't know, I think he scores goals per season. And he got two in one game to win the game for them.
Yeah.
Let's trash this.
The last time he scored twice.
You know what? Let me call.
Has it ever happened?
Let me call Philip up on this one first. Philip, are you with me?
City last season, away from home.
Philip, are you with me?
Oh, finally yes, the season.
All right, Philip, let's quickly talk about the roller coaster of emotions Conte is putting on the Tottenham Hotspur fan. I'm sure you're going to be loving it. In fact, I'm sure your own thoughts will be you guys try and lose one or two games, I mean, for the culture. But they're grinding out wins and in the most uninspiring and interesting way at the same time. What exactly do you take of them?
Well, I think for Tottenham, it's. What they do, they just need to win. Can you hear me, guys?
Yeah, I can hear you clearly. Go on, please.
Okay, I said for Tottenham, it's like win at all costs. The mission now is to win. It's like they don't really have the almighty formula that will give them a smooth win, but they just need to win. So, and for Antonio Conte, it seems like he would rather win 4-3 than to lose and play well. So it doesn't care the scoreline. All he needs is just to win. Because frankly, you know, last season he narrowly got into the Champions League. And now this season, the big guys are not really up and running yet. So if he doesn't make it into the Champions League, or if he gets sucked into, you know, a tough top four battle, he will have himself to blame.
True.
So it doesn't really matter 4-3 if they play well this week. Tottenham have been winning. That is it. They've been winning, even though it's been, you know, like
it's been rough. And that's all that matters, basically, at this point. I mean, just
yeah,
at
this
point.
This is their best start to a Premier League season ever. For how badly they've been playing, this is still their best start to a Premier League season. So I think for Conte, it will take time for him to gel, you know, smoothen it out, get a real dominant playing style where the opponents don't get to score three goals, because it doesn't do good for your goal difference either when you concede three goals today, concede four goals tomorrow. But even though you're winning, it's just plus one goal difference. So I think it will take time for Conte to iron all those nitty-gritty details out. But the good thing is Tottenham are winning, and that is all what matters to the investors, the owners, and the fans.
Oh, yeah, Tottenham are winning, and that's all that matters to the investors and the fans. Well, we're just going to quickly move away from that Tottenham game because we have so many games to talk about. I think we should just quickly talk about the Arsenal game and then move on to probably talk about Fulham against Manchester United. Arsenal are showing themselves as the boss of the Premier League right now, sitting down at the summit and are having a very good time at the moment. Martin Odegaard, like I said earlier, getting two goals in that particular game, showing himself very, very well in that particular game, being the best player on the pitch for them. Let's quickly bring in, you know, AGP on this one. AGP, let's quickly talk about Arsenal quickly. Do you think, you know, at this point right now, do you think they have, you know, ascertained themselves as not just top four, you know, runners, but the people that are actually contending at the moment? I mean, If I'm an Arsenal fan, to be sincere, I would be thinking.
If I am an Arsenal fan,
I would be thinking at this point.
Well, a lot of them are not getting carried away.
Let's believe in this dream.
All right, it's good to believe.
It can't hurt me anymore. Let's just believe in this dream.
But the real Arsenal fans know how to put the brakes
on the optimism and the hope.
So that's it for me. But they are playing some fantastic stuff, doing very well in the league. The confidence is there. The squad is doing very well. I mean, the players are doing equally well as well. And then going to the Molineux and winning 2-0, especially at the point in time where I did speak about the change or the switches in pressures, especially regarding after Manchester City had lost earlier in the day, the onus was on them to win the game, 5 points clear of Manchester City heading to the coverage. So it's a very, very good one for them. Confidence-wise, 100%. Mentality-wise, 100%. And eventually, when the Premier League resumes on Boxing Day until the end of the season, we're to see how that. They still have to play Manchester City over both legs. That's 6 points waiting.
But I think you'll be fine. Maybe I think you'll be fine.
I'm a big advocate for Arsenal.
Arsenal pushing right now. I think they have done enough for me.
I mean, for the half of the season, I think they have done enough for me to be able to say if
they win this league, you see, oh yeah, we started very well. We did what we had to do. Although we know that, you know, there's a whole lot. I mean, there's about 21 games remaining.
It's a whole lot. Mm-hmm. And the squad depth is not particularly at 100 because, I mean, what happens where they begin to have issues at the twilight of the season when, I mean, you have to start combining the Europa League, the FA Cup, the Premier League as well. And you have to
put all of them together.
As far as we are concerned now, like I always say, Arsenal might not be 100% in other competitions, but as far as the Premier League is concerned,
they are top notch.
They're really ready to push. As it goes this season.
All right, let's talk about a couple of games that were played on Sunday. Two games actually. Brighton against Aston Villa. Aston Villa nicked that one 2-1. Big ups to Emery for that. I mean, getting your 3 points, very, very important. And then Fulham against Manchester United. Fulham seems to be that team that has been a problem for every big side. It's either they push you till the very end of the game, and they have been very, very decent, you know, in all of their playing and the way they have played. But, you know, that game was a good one for Manchester United. They got an early goal, 14th minute with Christian Eriksen scoring a wonderful goal. And then Daniel James, the last guy you said might be actually headed to the World Cup. And then Alejandro Garnacho. What exactly are we talking about for Alexandra, this guy, Alejandro Garnacho? Because I think when we are done with this, then we move into the news of today. Mm. This guy, Alejandro Garnacho, has been very, very pivotal for Man U in two games now. Are we looking at him as that guy that might actually, you know, turn up for Manchester United?
I think I would stretch it beyond two games. I think I would say three games because, of course, the game against Sociedad, he was the difference maker. Then, of course, he came on against Aston Villa. He was the difference maker when he came off the bench. And, of course, the difference maker again last night when United needed all 3 points to leave the Craven Cottage. So he's been very, very influential. He's the youngest goal scorer this season, 18 years, 153 days old. Youngest goal scorer this season in the Premier League. He's been very, very fantastic. A very, very good player to watch also. He's a very, very fun watch. The way he takes on defenders, the way he actually moves. His decision making for somebody that young is actually quite impressive. It's very good for him. And of course, talking about the general structure of the game, of course, United won the game quite all right. But I feel like United could have avoided being in that situation where they needed a 90th minute winner. That was also something. Fulham also could have also capitalized on United not scoring.
I think it was a very balanced game. In fact, I mean,
it was end to end.
All due respect to the Manchester United fan, they nicked this. I mean, these are the kind of
United got away with one day.
These are the kind of games where you win and you feel good for the entire season that we won that game. You know, there's that one game.
It was good.
We won that game, and I was, you know, it was good enough. And that's why
I was mentioning to AGP last night. Andreas Pereira, for it's not just about what exactly has gone down. He's been that guy for Fulham this season.
I think Joao Palhinha,
that guy has been superb.
You know what? Let's quickly talk about Fulham for a second. And I'm going to bring in let me bring in Boyega on this one because I want Boyega to say one or two things. Fulham have been, you know, amazing this season because apart from the fact that they have not gotten solid points against the top six, they have been a problem and they have shown that they can actually play. I mean, the very first game of the season they had that game 2-2 against Liverpool, and we thought, oh, maybe it might just be a one-off, but they have really been those guys, you know, in this season.
Second consecutive week that they are losing to a Manchester club.
I mean, in the 90th minute. Boyega, what exactly do you feel about Fulham? Are you excited for them? Let's quickly round this up because, of course, we have to talk about something very important.
Good evening, guys. I really don't know if I should be excited for them because if I'm a fan of Fulham, I don't think I would exactly be excited because they've always been very close against Arsenal, against Manchester City, against Manchester United. In fact,
against Liverpool,
both games against City. At least they got a point against Liverpool, which to me is very, very sufficient. That's like enough against a team like Liverpool. But then when you're also close to getting this kind of result against United and against City, who are like on paper the best team in the league, it's like a difficult pill to swallow for you that in such games you end up with no point at all. Yesterday it was looking like, okay, maybe they have this game in the bag, at least. Of course, not in terms of winning, but at least getting a point.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I mean, there was just a miscommunication.
They switched off, yeah. That was a lot of that miscommunication towards the end. I mean, that was really bad.
And then they just lost it all. Same mm-hmm. thing happened against City. That's in its different circumstance. There was a penalty against them.
That's quite controversial.
Yeah, that was quite controversial. You understand? Yeah. So, but then I would say that yes, they've been really good. They've been playing some really good, impressive football this season, and they've also held their own against the big sides. But then, just like I would only say, dragging it over the line has been an issue for them this season. You know, that mentality to make sure they see it out, even against Arsenal, because they were playing well against Arsenal. I was expecting that, okay, maybe they could even get a draw, but then eventually Arsenal got the maximum 3 points. So
yeah.
I think going forward for them, they should just,
when they get to Chelsea, they wouldn't want to drop the maximum points. You know, it's a different ballgame entirely, and it's a London derby that has been a problem for years. Trust me, I know. I'm serious.
You absolutely have your point. So let's see how it's going forward. I think they will do better going forward.
All right. Thank you very much, Gboyega, for your input on that one. Now, let's quickly talk about for about 5 to 7 minutes, see how much we can push into this particular issue. Although we would get to talk about it some other time this week, because the full interview would be out on Wednesday and Thursday, 8 p.m. each day. You know, Piers Morgan is releasing an uncensored interview with Cristiano Ronaldo, current Manchester United player, as well as the Portuguese captain. We have had a lot of issues with Cristiano Ronaldo lately in terms of, you know, how he has handled a couple of things. According to the Manchester United fans and Manchester United faithfuls, he has not been, that guy. In fact, a lot of people have relegated him from being, you know, their legend to just being one of those players that played and wore the jersey for Manchester United. And all this is because of how this season has been really, really sore. And that interview just kind of stamps, although we have not seen the full interview, so, but we have gotten experts excerpts from that, and we have seen a couple of, you know, lines and a couple of videos from the interview that looks very, very interesting. Even though I would personally want to wait to see the entire, you know, full interview before I would say one or two things, but I know we have to talk about it because the hot topic at the moment. Let me quickly start with Philip on this one. Philip, Cristiano Ronaldo is in the spotlight once again, and this time it seems like he might have made up his mind already that he has donned the jersey of Manchester United for the last time. With that interview that we're expecting on Wednesday and Thursday, with the small videos, the small snippets that we have gotten, he has said a lot already. What exactly do you think is going on right now with, you know, that particular vibe? Is this the energy that Manchester United wants, and is this the way that a legend should close his books with his team?
For me, I think a lot of times it's really hard for legends to come to the reality that maybe my time is up. You know, a lot of them can't really handle it. And one particular example that has handled it so gracefully has to be Roger Federer. You know, he didn't fight it. He didn't throw tantrums. He didn't go about it awkwardly. He just came out to tell us, I will be retiring. He didn't even retire at a Grand Slam. You know, he just did it at an ATP event. But for Ronaldo, yeah, he might be the greatest footballer ever. He might be the greatest athlete we've ever seen. He might be the greatest sportsman. You know, the accolades, the names, the awards, everything talks for itself. But I think when you are an employee, you don't look your employer in the eye and say, I don't respect you because you don't respect me. They pay you top dollar every week. Even after that interview, his money will still check in on Friday. So you don't look at them in the eye and say, oh, you guys have not made progress since Alex Ferguson left. If they were making progress, they wouldn't resign you. If you don't get it, you are part of the, you know, holding on to the old relics. If United were forward-looking, forward-moving, not looking back, they wouldn't be caught up in nostalgia of resigning Cristiano Ronaldo. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
He should see himself as part of, you know, the things that they've not let go. But because in his mind, he still thinks he's the 25, 26, 27-year-old Ronaldo that is capable of delivering the world for any club that he represents.
Yeah.
He has not come to the reality that he can't cheat nature, he can't cheat biology. Age is no longer on his side. He can't deliver at the top level he wishes to deliver. Ronaldo doesn't see himself as on a decline.
Yeah.
He still thinks, oh, they're not giving me good service. They're not buying players to compliment me. They're not buying, you know, this to... You are 38... You are 37 going to
38. Yeah.
I mean, for any sport,
I think it's
any sport, a 38-year-old man
is going to be 38 next year,
thinking of retiring. but he thinks that he's still a young chap that can deliver 30 goals, 20 goals, this tournament, that Champions League. But you should start to see yourself as, oh, well, I'm on the bench not because I'm not a good footballer, but because it is time for the young to succeed the old. That is the way of life. The young will always succeed the old.
It's the circle of life. Ronaldo, Lion King taught us.
Yeah, it is. he's not taking that into cognizance. And it's painful for me because I'm a huge, huge Ronaldo admirer. Mm. But I wish he could have handled this more gracefully.
Yeah.
You have the privilege, he had the privilege of playing under some of the greatest coaches ever.
Man.
What is stopping him from approaching Zidane? Boss, advise me on this thing. How should I undo it? Mm. I'm afraid of this decline. I'm afraid of, you know, not being the spotlight anymore.
Mm.
Zidane also was a top footballer at his peak. And we know how, you know, he also
ended for him,
with the headbutt at the World Cup.
Yeah, that was,
if Zidane was to write that story,
I'm sure he would
have wanted it to end better.
Yeah, I mean, but a World Cup win would have been massive.
Yeah, so Zidane would have been able to advise him that don't go the way I went. I exited the stage very, very unceremoniously. But now, are you telling me a club would offer Ronaldo a new another contract by January?
Philip,
is anybody willing to drop?
Philip, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to cut you short for now. Although we would get to talk about it more on Wednesday and Thursday, because of course we have to talk about these issues when they come up like this. Well, let me quickly bring in one of the guys in the studio right now, Adam. Let me quickly hear your take, and then maybe I'll bring in Guiga to just help us to round up on this issue. Now, I'm just going to say a couple of things. You know, like I said earlier, I really don't think I would want to give my take of this, you know, thing that's happened, even though I'm not glad at all. I'm a big admirer of Ronaldo as well as Lionel Messi, as the two greats that has ever played the game. I mean, I appreciate the fact that I've seen them play. But these things are happening, you know, in a way that should not happen, basically. What exactly is your take at the moment with what is currently happening? Because I'm sure a lot of people might actually have, you know, maybe a different outlook to things when they see the entire interview. You might say, okay, maybe he did bad, but this could have been handled differently. What exactly do you feel as well, for now, at the moment?
I was in a conversation earlier with people about this, of course, this interview and everything. And honestly, I as much as I want to keep my fingers crossed for the full bombshell, let me put it that way, the full thing, the full length, the full way, the full ride. As much as I want to keep my words until then, there is no way I am not first into making some decisions. I mean, it's been on and on. It's been something we've been seeing since the beginning of preseason. And it's been showing in our faces. And you coming out to do this, it doesn't sound like the right move. I saw a video last night. The video said that last night was supposed to be the night of Alejandro Garnacho. Alejandro Garnacho was supposed to be the headline for United in Manchester.
I think that's on Piers Morgan, though.
And
that's on Piers Morgan.
In minutes, he went from Garnacho being the hero for Manchester United to Ronaldo being the guy that's coming out to say, I don't respect the coach because he doesn't respect. I'm sorry to say this, but even, I mean, so far so good. In Ten Hag's press conferences, whenever it comes to Ronaldo-related issues,
he handles
you've seen
it
how
well.
Brilliantly he picks his words to actually address the situation.
Yeah.
And you come out and your first words about this person is, I don't respect him because he does not respect me.
Mm.
With all due respect, that is a wrong statement. That's number one. Number two, there was a claim of the lack of empathy from the coach, from the club rather, when his 3 month old daughter passed away.
I think I would rather we address that when we see the full picture.
It's a very, very lengthy.
Because I mean, when you want to come around and talk about things like that, there are a lot of things you actually have to look at, you understand?
Yeah,
but one thing that is sure and which a lot of people accepted is that Ronaldo has gone to this, or has approached this issue,
he has gone over the line
the wrong way. You understand? And maybe that's something we get to talk about some other time when we have the opportunity. I'm very sure on Wednesday, Thursday, if we have the opportunity, we'll be able to say one or two things, 20 minutes, 15 minutes, as much as we can, you know, afford to talk about that issue. 0806-452-3344 and 0816-408-4381 are the phone lines for you to call in and be a part of the show. 0806-452-3344 and 0816-408-4381. Otis, I'm still waiting for a call from you. You won a prediction last week and I've not gotten anything from you yet. Hello, good evening.
Good evening, guys.
Yeah, good evening. Who am I on to, please?
This is Victor from Apple.
All right, Victor, let's hear your thoughts this evening.
I think for Ronaldo, I think one of the analysts there mentioned what I had. Ten Hag has never for once disrespected him during press conference. Mm. Even when reporters are making, asking him questions that are, you walked out of your team the first time. Did that the second time. Mm. And it took the second time for Ten Hag to actually, bring out the air dryer for you. Because the first time, he just allowed you to slide. Second time, you have to react because of the team.
Of course.
And you're not the only guy that's not playing there. Van Bissaka is there, a guy that was shining under Ogbonna Soldier, whatever, he's not even playing. And, there are some other guys. And, it is time like this that you're supposed to be a mentor for people like Alejandro Garnacho. Funny enough, he's even playing your wing. He's playing a favor. And you are...
I need you to wrap up in like 20 seconds, please.
Then you think you are all around blazing around, causing issues within the dressing room. I just pray that this doesn't cost Man United,
I don't think it would, personally. Like, I think Manchester United are good.
I think the best way is for them, everybody to part with that.
Actually, I personally think, if that's the case, thank you very much for calling in. That's the case, I actually think Manchester United are good. This is just Ronaldo being Ronaldo.
I even got something quickly. He says that under the FIFA rule and all that, they can actually terminate his contract without having to even make a payoff.
I think that's what's going to happen. Hello, good evening.
Yeah, good evening. This is Richard.
All right, Richard, let's hear your thought this evening.
Okay, quickly, I will just say one or two things about Ronaldo saga.
All right.
Well, I'm looking at it from another angle.
Uh-huh.
Ronaldo is not the only one the coach dropped on the bench.
Uh-huh.
Maguire is also on the bench.
Uh-huh.
But the guy is not complaining.
Uh-huh.
Because those who replace him, they are doing better. But somebody said Ronaldo is 37, he's aging. But we have Rashford and Matia, who could not even score 20 goals a season since they started their football career.
Well, you have a good point. You have a good point.
Maybe Ronaldo is annoyed that the people that are even there, they cannot do better than him. Assuming United put Ronaldo on the bench, and we have players like maybe Lewandowski or Haaland or Mbappe.
In 20 seconds, please. Round up in 20 seconds, please.
So I think that is why I'm really annoyed. That's just the way I see it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Hello. Good evening.
Hello. Good evening, sir.
Yeah, good evening. How are you doing this evening?
I thank God about
you. Hold on, sir. Let's share your contribution this evening.
I just want to comment about Orlando.
All right.
But,
all right.
Whatever is transcended on life, coach is coach.
Mm.
Coach is above him.
Mm.
So that one, so I can't say because you don't respect him.
Mm.
But that's the thing that I don't like it.
Mm.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you very much. The coach is the coach, he's the head of the team. You have to listen to him. Hello, good evening. Hello, good evening. Oh, please try and call the number again. And Otis, if you're listening right now, it'd be really, really nice to, hear your voice so I can actually give you your airtime. Hello, good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Yeah, good evening. Who am I on to, please?
Yeah, this is Romeo from Accra.
Sorry?
Romeo from Accra.
All right, Romeo, let's share your thoughts quickly.
Yeah. Please, your Facebook page on, your page on Facebook. You should be able to stream you guys live. Whenever you are doing the program.
We'll see what we can do.
Okay. That's my take.
All right. Thank you very much. All right, wow. We'll see what we can do about that streaming live thing. Well, we'll see how we can work on that. Maybe we'll do something. Hello, good evening.
Hello, good evening. Williams from Accra.
Hey, Williams, how are you doing this evening?
I'm fine. How are you guys?
We're doing all right. Let's hear you for 45 seconds, Williams.
All right. I think there's no need, there's no gain saying that Ronaldo has not been fair to Manchester United with all the comments he made.
Mm.
It is very, very unfortunate.
Mm.
Just like one of the callers said, you see, Ronaldo is supposed to be like a second coach in that thing.
Mm.
Other younger players should look at Ronaldo and for guidance. He should be excited that the club is doing well at this moment. I mean, a couple of weeks back, we never gave Manchester United a chance to be where they are today.
True.
Even the fact that he's not playing, he's not giving much time, but the results are coming in. As a senior that he is, this one should first of all put into consideration. And again, Manchester United made Ronaldo, if you ask me. Even though, yes, we know that he did very...
Even though he did massively in Madrid, I think Manchester United is always going to be that starting point for greatness for him.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. I agree 100.
That is why when he was coming back the second time, mm-hmm. you see the excitement in the entire
Manchester.
So he's not fair at all. Mm. And with this comment, I think he's just gradually using his hands to keep his own career.
Mm.
I think he's going to go down from here.
Mm. All right, thank you very much.
I'm not sure any club is going to
sign. Yeah, I guess so. Thank you very much, Winners, for calling in.
Thank you very much, guys. Good evening.
All right, good evening. Well, the phone lines are still open for you to call in and, of course, give your thoughts on what we're talking about this evening. 0806452-3344 and 0816408-4381. We would get to address the issue some more when we have the opportunity to, but let's hear your thoughts for this evening. Hello, good evening.
Yeah, sorry, Victor calling back.
All right, Victor.
I wish we could get some words from Ten Hag, but that may be difficult.
Mm.
But, you know...
I'm sure we'll hear something very soon. I'm very sure Ten Hag will say something. I know he's that kind of coach. He will talk.
Because of the team. But, you know, guys, this issue stem back from when Ten Hag resumed as a manager. Now, Ronaldo is used to show up for preseason.
Well, from what we are hearing, from what we have heard, the reason why he did not show up for preseason is another issue entirely. Because he claimed that his daughter was ill and he had to stay with her. But that was a different case entirely. I think this one, this is the peak of all that has happened. If that preseason thing might need to be, you know, addressed differently than what he has done now.
When he came back, he wanted to walk into the team.
That's another. That's where the problem might have started.
And he doesn't want to realize that his style has changed. He just want to walk in like a big man. And start, it doesn't work that way. And that was when the issue started with him and Ten Hag. Now, a caller said, because Rashford and the likes are not scoring enough goals. Let me tell you that the reason why United is not signing a striker is because they still have Ronaldo there as a striker.
Mm.
If not, they will probably sign a striker for United. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. Well, it seems to be a very sore topic because at the moment, we know that it's one of those topics that a lot of people don't actually want to talk about, but at some point we have to talk about it. But we'll be back again tomorrow to give you all the updates in the world of sports, and the guys will be ready to talk about every single thing that we need to talk about. Well, that's all we can take this evening. Good night. Have a wonderful evening. Peace, love, and blessings.